Well, let me say good morning to you. It's very, very good to see you. Welcome to Barkham Church today. Can I say a particular welcome to you if you're new to us or if you're kind of back with us for the first time? Really brilliant to see you. My name's Julian. I'm the minister here. I'm going to be leading us through our service. Of course, we are still living with various restrictions. Little reminder of the key things. Please remain in your seats unless you have an urgent reason you need to leave. But please remain in your seats. And then at the end of the service, please remain seated until Gavin and Jackie indicate that it's time for your row to go. We ask you to please, you need to keep your masks on throughout the service, unless you are exempt. Please do enjoy the songs. We've got two wonderful songs today. Do hum along and rejoice in your heart, but please, we're not allowed to sing. We do have access to a toilet over at the Village Hall. It is the disabled loo, which is the one immediately on the right when you go through the door. The key for that is on the back of the door. Do just let Gavin and Jackie know if you need to take that. Well, as we begin today, I wonder who you think knows you best. Of all the people in the world, all the people that you know, who do you think knows you best? I know many of you quite well. I know some things about you. I know that it was Reuben Dean's birthday on Thursday, and that he was 7 years old on Thursday. So happy birthday, Reuben. I hope you had a wonderful day. But I wonder, as you think about people around you, who knows you best? Is it a really close friend? Is it a brother or sister? I bet your mum or dad know you really well. Well, as we come to consider the Lord Jesus today, and that's what we're doing in our services, we're trying to get to know Jesus better in the pages of Matthew's Gospel. But as we try to get to know him better, we need to remember he knows us. He knows us through and through. It's one of the things we've seen in Matthew's Gospel recently. When Jesus meets people, he knows them. He knows their hearts. He knows what's going on inside. And that's true for us today. The Lord knows us. He knows how we are. He knows how we're feeling. He knows what we're thinking. He knows all about us. And so as we begin our service today, we're going to acknowledge that. We're going to pray to him and ask that Jesus, who knows us inside out, would be working in our hearts and doing his good work in us. So we're going to say this prayer together that is printed on our service sheet. Let's pray together. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. Jesus Christ knows us, and wonderfully we can know him. And how amazing that is when we consider who he is, that he is the King of Kings. He's the one on the throne today. And our first song calls us to acknowledge him as the one who reigns. Crown him with many crowns. We're going to listen to this great song. crown him with many crowns. It's a funny kind of picture, isn't it? Of a king wearing many crowns. Can you imagine a king trying to balance many crowns on their head? Except, of course, what it's saying is that the Lord Jesus is worthy of all honour and all glory. He reigns over all, and he should reign over every part of our lives. But as we think back over the last week, we can all see times when we have lived as though actually we wear the crown in our lives. We've lived our own way instead of his way. We've lived for our own glory instead of for his. And it's good for us to confess that now, and all the more because he's a merciful king. And we're going to say this prayer of confession that's printed on the sheet, asking the Lord to forgive us and to change our hearts. So let's pray together. Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we have sinned against you in thought and word and deed, through negligence, through weakness, through our own deliberate fault. We are truly sorry and repent of all our sins. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, who died for us, forgive us all that is past, and grant that we may serve you in newness of life, to the glory of your name. Amen. It's good for us to confess our sins, but only because of what God is like. Only because he has promised that he will not hold our sins against us. Only because he's promised to forgive all who come to him for mercy, and he can do that because he died for us. The writer of this next psalm, we're going to say together in a moment, understood it's so important what God is like. See verse 3, he asks a good question. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? If God kept a list of our sins and held it up before us, none of us could stand. But verse 4, he says, with you there is forgiveness. And we rejoice in that. With our God, through Jesus, there is forgiveness. So we're going to rejoice in that now as we say this psalm together. Let's stand. It's a chance to stretch our legs. And let's read Psalm 130. We'll say it together. Out of the depths I cry to you, Lord. Lord, hear my voice. Let your ears be attentive to my cry for mercy. If you, Lord, kept a record of sins, Lord, who could stand? But with you there is forgiveness, so that we can with reverence serve you. I wait for the Lord, my whole being waits, and in his word I put my hope. I wait for the Lord, more than watchmen wait for the morning. More than watchmen wait for the morning. Israel, put your hope in the Lord, for with the Lord is unfailing love, and with him is full redemption. He himself will redeem Israel from all their sins. Would you please take a seat? We're going to continue to cry to the Lord who hears our voice. As we turn to pray, Richard's going to lead us.
I'm going to lead us in three prayers today for all those facing new challenges and uncertainties at this time, for the children and young people in our church, and for our mission partners, Alex and Nadia Richardson. Let's pray. In Psalm 62, David says, "Yes, my soul, find rest in God. My hope comes from him. Truly, he is my rock and my salvation. He is my fortress, I shall not be shaken. My salvation and my honour depend on God. He is my mighty rock, my refuge. Trust in him at all times, you people. Pour out your hearts to him, for God is our refuge." We pray for all those facing new challenges at this time. We especially want to give thanks for the arrival of baby Jonty Matsua, who was born on Wednesday. We give thanks for the good health of Kat, as well as baby Jonty. And we pray that you would strengthen Lionel and Kat and the family at this time. Cause them to trust and depend on you in all situations. We pray for those facing challenges of loss, isolation, job uncertainty, or other challenges that may not be known to others but is known by you, Lord. We thank you that your saving power is shown to us in the cross and the resurrection. We thank you that you say that nothing can separate us from your love. We pray that you would help us to find rest in you because of these truths. We pray for the children and young people in our church. We pray that you would work through the young people's groups that have started meeting again this term or will hopefully restart soon. We pray for Toast and for Friday Club that you would be at work in all who attend. We pray that the joy and attractiveness of knowing you will be seen, such that some grow to know you more and others are drawn to follow. We pray that all will be keen to reach out to those who are new in the groups. And we pray for Sunday Club groups that meet that would usually meet on a Sunday, that these groups may be able to start again in future and that you would help all those who are making plans regarding this. Finally, we pray for our mission partners, Alex and Nadia Richardson, with their two sons, Andre and Dennis. The Richardsons are based at a new church plant started last year within the city of Novosibirsk in Siberia. We thank you for the opportunities Alex has had to speak in the church, and we pray that you would be close to him as he continues in this role, that he might seek your heart and be faithful to you in his words and actions. We thank you for the opportunity that there is for the Richardsons to move house. We pray that the preparations for this would go smoothly so as to not interrupt the other responsibilities that the family has. We also pray for the leadership team at the church, for you to use them to grow the church and that they would be strong in love and unity. We pray all of these prayers in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. And we continue in prayer with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
We're going to turn to God's word now. Claire's going to bring our reading and then David will preach for us. Shall we pray as we prepare to hear from the Lord? Our Father, we thank you that your word gives us life in Christ. And so we pray that you would help us to be attentive to you today and that our hearts might be responsive for the glory of your name. Amen.
Matthew 9:1-8. Jesus stepped into a boat, crossed over, and came to his hometown. Some men brought him to a paralyzed man lying on a mat. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." At this, some of the teachers of the law said to themselves, "This fellow is blaspheming." Knowing their thoughts, Jesus said, "Why do you entertain evil thoughts in your heart? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins are forgiven,' or to say, 'Get up and walk'? But I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." So he said to the paralyzed man, "Get up, take your mat and go home." Then the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe, and they praised God, who had given such authority to man.
Well, there are two big things for us to see from this passage today. There's some good news and there's some bad news. So, you ready? And if that feels like a slightly abrupt start to our sermon today, it's not just because I know that I'm often prone to go on for a couple of minutes longer than I should do and feel like I really need to get on with things this morning. It's because it is slightly Matthew style as well. Hands up if you have come across this story before. The story of Jesus and the paralyzed man. Yeah, loads of us have, haven't we? It's like the calming of the storm last week. Many of us, we know this story really well. It was in our story Bibles, Holiday Bible Club. We've looked at this many, many times over the years. So just look at it again, there on the service sheet. What's missing from this version? What does Matthew leave out? Have a think. What does Mark, in his account, tell us happens when these men arrived at the house where Jesus was? Mark tells us the house was so full of people, they couldn't even get in the door. Do you remember? And they had to climb up on the roof and dig a hole and lower the man down. And so there's Jesus, he's mid-sermon, he's preaching, and all of a sudden this bloke's coming down in front of him. And it's a brilliant story, isn't it? Now look at Matthew. None of that. Notice? None of that detail. Verse 1. Quick mention of the boat trip back from where they'd met the demon-possessed man. My guess is there was not much conversation on that return journey. You can imagine Jesus' disciples sat in the boat just staring out to sea in silence, can't you, as they think over the things they've just seen Jesus do, calming the storm and dealing with those demons, casting them out and pondering that question they asked last week. Do you remember, who is this Jesus? And then verse 2, some men brought to him a paralytic lying on a mat. No mention, notice, of the crowd spilling out the door, of digging a hole in the roof, of lowering the man down. Matthew, he's in such a hurry to get us to the main point, the big thing for us to see. He just tells us, here he is, this paralyzed man. Some people bring him to Jesus. Which makes sense, doesn't it? Jesus, we've seen in chapter 8, has certainly got authority to heal. When Jesus tells sickness to go away, it does. So this shouldn't take long, we're thinking. One word, this poor man, he's going to be up and about again and Jesus can get back to whatever it was he was doing. But then, end of verse 2, Jesus says the most surprising thing of all. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, "Take heart, son, your sins are forgiven." And we don't really feel the surprise, do we? Because we know the story so well, we think. But imagine you had been there. You're watching. Jesus says, "Take heart, son." Oh, good old Jesus, you're thinking. We knew he'd help. He's so kind. "Your sins are forgiven." What? That's not why the man's here. Come on, Jesus. Look, pay attention. He's not here for forgiveness. He needs healing. He's paralyzed. But Jesus, by saying those words, he brings us straight to our two main points this morning. Good news and bad news. We'll take the bad news first, which is normally what we like to choose, isn't it, when we're given the option, because it means we end on a high. And believe me, it's quite a high this morning. But first, the bad news, our first point. Jesus says our biggest problem by far is our own sin. Whoever we are, our biggest problem by far is our own sin. Go on, biggest problems in the world today. What would you say? Imagine you ask some friends of yours at school or work or where you live or something. What kinds of things would people come up with? The virus, we would say, wouldn't we? Passing 1 million dead around the world so far this last week. It feels like it's creeping closer, doesn't it? It's in many of the local schools now. Of course, for some of us, maybe it's the responses to the virus that we would talk about. Not just the kind of erosion of civil liberties, but feels like the abolition of some of them, doesn't it? There was plenty of discussion about that in Parliament this last week too. And even without the virus, there were so many other big problems, weren't there? Poverty, unemployment, famine, drought, corruption, war, terrorism, climate change, political division. Do you remember the Brexit stuff last year? More recently, such a focus on racism and inequality and discrimination of so many kinds. You start to list them like that, you could get quite depressed living in a world like ours, couldn't you? And that's just the stuff in the headlines. Because now let's bring it right in. The biggest problems we each face. Stuff that will never be in the headlines, probably. But even so, ill health and ageing and loneliness and bereavement and unemployment and depression and divorce and bullying, and the list goes on and on. Biggest problems we face? How long have you got? We want to say. No, Jesus says, as he looks at each of us right now, I wonder, can you feel his gaze on you right now? Your biggest problem by far is your own sin. The way that we've each rejected God and his love and his rule, and we show that in so many ways every day, don't we? Impatient outbursts and gossipy words and lustful glances and raging anger and selfish decisions and ugly pride and self-reliance and failing to pray, and that list goes on too. So many sins. There's your real problem, Jesus says. Not just to this man, but to all of us, as he looks past this man's paralysis for a few moments and homes in on his sin. Not even the sin that's been done to us, but the sins we've done. That's your biggest problem, Jesus says. It's very uncomfortable, isn't it? It's a bit like going to a doctor can sometimes be. We book an appointment with the doctor because there's a bit of an ache somewhere. Or we're sat in the waiting room thinking, it's just a rash. We get called through, we go in, we sit down, in the days when you can go and see a GP, this is. And we start to talk about whatever it is that's brought us there. And it's just some little thing we're thinking, it's not going to take long, quick fix, we'll be okay. The doctor asks a few more questions and they have a good look and they prod and they poke and they maybe send us off some tests or something. And eventually, there is something, they say. But I'm afraid it's far more serious than you thought. And it's like that with Jesus. Notice, all kinds of problems might lead us to him, might even prompt us to take others to him as well. But first he says, we have got to talk about your sin. Because whatever else may be going on, that is by far your greatest problem of all. Which makes sense, actually, doesn't it? Because think about it for a moment. All those other problems that we can think of, poverty and famine and terrorism and climate change and political division and getting old and ill health and family breakdown and bullying and so on. Imagine they were all dealt with. Imagine they were all fixed and life was brilliant. And then we die and we stand before God still in our sins. Standing before the Creator we've rejected, still facing the judgment that we deserve for the way we've rejected him. That would be awful, wouldn't it? And so it's no wonder Jesus says our biggest problem by far is our own sin. That's the bad news. Now for the good news. Really good news. Our second point, Jesus says, he has authority to deal with them too. He has authority to forgive our sins. Verse 2, when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, not, oh dear, you are in trouble because of your sins, aren't you? But, take heart, son, they're forgiven. Isn't that glorious? It's so like Jesus, isn't it? Notice, with the very words with which he exposes the true problem, our sin, he's also assuring us he can deal with it. He doesn't come just to beat us up about the trouble that we're in, but to fix it too. Sickness, storms, evil. Matthew has already shown us Jesus has authority over all of those things. But this is even better, notice. He wants us to see Jesus really does have authority to forgive our sins too. Which is a massive claim, isn't it? The teachers of the law listening in, notice, they know exactly how big a claim it is. Verse 3, at this some of them said to themselves, this fellow is blaspheming. He's putting himself in the place of God. He's saying the kinds of words that only God can say, which he is, isn't he? Only God can truly forgive sins if in the end sins are committed ultimately against him. In God's kindness, our church council, our PCC, has enjoyed lovely unity for many years now. Our meetings have generally been very, very happy for a very long time. But imagine something happens and we have a really bad one. A really bad one. So bad that at the end of it, I turn around and I punch one of our wardens, Craig or Mark, in the face and storm out. Just imagine it. I hope it will never happen. But it'd be horrible. No one would enjoy it. But imagine next morning I get a call and it's Julian. David, he says, you really shouldn't have done that, but it's okay, don't worry. You're forgiven. Is that okay? Well, not really, no. Because who sinned? Me? Against who? Or Craig or Mark? So who's the only person who has the right to say that I'm forgiven? It's not Julian, it's Craig or Mark. There's no way Julian has the right to tell me I'm forgiven if I've sinned against somebody else. But imagine just a few moments earlier that morning, Craig or Mark had phoned Julian. Julian, I'm really busy today. I'm sorry, I haven't got time to do this, but could you just do something for me? Could you just give David a ring and let him know it's okay? He's forgiven. That would be okay, wouldn't it? That would be brilliant. Julian would have every right to speak those words, and it's a bit like that here. Here's this man lying in front of Jesus who, just like us, has sinned against God. And here is Jesus looking at that man and speaking those wonderful words, take heart, son. Your sins are forgiven. How dare he, people think. Unless, of course, God himself has given him the authority to come into the world and tell sinners they really are forgiven by him. Unless, of course, Jesus has the right to say these words that only God can say because he is God. God the Son come into the world to forgive. You don't believe that's true? Jesus asked the muttering teachers of the law. Okay, tell me, verse 5, which is easier, to say your sins are forgiven or to say get up and walk? And that's an easy question, isn't it? If Jesus tells someone their sins are forgiven, how would you know? They don't look any different after he's spoken those words. There's no way you can tell if they've been effective. Anyone could say something like that, but if Jesus says get up and walk and the bloke doesn't move, we know Jesus is a fraud, don't we? And so verse 6, but I want you to know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sin. So he said to the paralyzed man, get up, take your mat and go home. And can you imagine the tension in that moment? As everyone there is staring suddenly at the man, because so much hangs on what happens with the man. Is he going to move? Or is Jesus a fraud? Verse 7, the man got up and went home. When the crowd saw this, they were filled with awe and they praised God who had given such authority to man, because God really has given all authority to forgive to Jesus. It's brilliant, isn't it? And just think about it. It is so what we need. Every other problem that we could think of, it could be fixed. But if we're still in our sins, that is desperate, isn't it? Even if life here was absolutely problem-free, you had the life everybody envied. If one day we are going to stand before God, still in trouble with him for our sins and facing his judgment, who cares how great life may be now? We have to know our sins are forgiven. I do. you do too. So is there anyone who can forgive them? There is just one, we see, and it's Jesus. If you or someone you loved had some awful medical condition and you learned that there was just one person, one specialist somewhere in the world who could help them, you wouldn't rest till you found them, would you? You wouldn't rest until you got yourself or that person in front of them. Well, when it comes to the biggest problem of all, we have found him. Actually, he's found us. Here's Jesus, the doctor. You notice, doesn't just give us the bad news about our sins, but the best news. He really can deal with them and forgive them. God the Son become a man to live the life that we should have lived, and then at the cross die the death we deserve to die, so that people like us can be forgiven. And so that with all the authority of God himself, he can say to everyone who trusts him, those glorious words in verse 2. Take heart, son or daughter. Your sins are forgiven. Big sins, small sins. Sins others know about. Sins about which nobody else has a clue. Sins we don't even know we've done. Sins that are always weighing on our minds. Sins we didn't think really mattered. Sins we thought could never be forgiven. Every single one of them, Jesus says, forgiven by him, if we're trusting him. Because look, as this man gets up off his mat, picks it up and goes home, we know Jesus really does have authority to forgive. Let's pray as we finish. We thank you so much, Heavenly Father, for the Lord Jesus once more. We thank you for his willingness to talk to us about things that we would often rather not hear about. We thank you that Jesus loves us enough to tell us about our sins, to talk to us about them, to show us what a problem they are. We pray that we would take him at his word when he says they are such a problem. But we thank you too that Jesus doesn't just come to show us the trouble we're each in on our own, but that he came to fix it. That he has come so that we can be forgiven. And we pray that we would believe him when he says that. And that we would rejoice in and be grateful for him as we should. We ask in his name. Amen.
It's wonderful news. Jesus has the authority to forgive sins, and he is our risen Saviour, who, as our next song says, has made an end of all our sins. And this song expresses the great confidence that we can have as we look upward, as we look to him before the throne of God above.
I'm
Can I thank you again for joining us today? Just a couple of things as we come to the end. Remember, please remain in your seat until you ask your row to leave. And then as you leave, one thing you can collect if you wish is a flat pack shoebox. You'll, I'm sure, be familiar with Operation Christmas Child, the shoebox appeal, which offers gives children around the world who wouldn't otherwise get something for Christmas the opportunity to receive a shoebox full of all kinds of goodies. And then they also get the opportunity to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. There are the flat pack shoeboxes, which you can collect on the way out if you want. They're free for you to pick up. It's helpful to use them if you can. It really helps the charity as they collect them in. I think the 1st of November is when we're going to ask for them to be dropped off, and there are leaflets as well about what you can and can't put in the shoeboxes. But David will be there to give those to those who want to collect them. And then just another reminder that today we've got a Zoom coffee that is happening at 11:45 this morning. You can, outside, stick around for a while in groups of no more than six, but then you'll have to head off. The weather's not that amazing, so I wouldn't blame you if you Zoom away. But you can Zoom into a coffee at 11:45, details in the email that went out yesterday. Well, we're going to finish our service this morning by saying the words of the grace that are printed on the sheet. We'll say this prayer together. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all evermore.